This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
We're back live nationwide and all around the world with Ron Sedgy today on this very special weekend, the 50th anniversary of the first man on the moon. And I have to tell you something, we have put together what I think is a pretty interesting show. This hour from NBC, the man has spent 50 years covering all kinds of launches from the Cape. His book is called Live from Cape Canaveral. Jay Barbary will be joining us. Astronaut Mike Massimino will be here, and astronaut Winston Scott will be joining us this hour. I've had the pleasure over the years interviewing so many astronauts, and one of them was Buzz Aldrin, the second man on the moon. We're going to play that interview in a couple of weeks, okay? We have it stacked away in our archives, but we're going to bring it out and play it for you either next week or the week after. But when we return with hour number two, we're going to resume our tribute to the moon landing on Ron Sedgy Today.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
800-871-3291. 800-871-3291. Again, that's 800-871-3291.
Balance of nature, changing the world one life at a time.
When I wasn't taking it and I was waiting for my operation, I was feeling very tired. Now I'm driving like 11, 12 hours a day. I told you I manage 15 gas stations. And I have so much energy, I even gave some of my pills for my son. And he said, Dad, this is good, so I like it. I'm healing so fast. It's like amazing. My family is so surprised because my wound like closing up and doing so good. So that is working now that I'm starting taking my those fruits and vegetables.
Experience the balance of nature difference for yourself. For a limited time, you can receive a 30% discount and free shipping on your first preferred order of Balance of Nature. Call 800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code USA.
We're back with Ron Sedgy today, nationwide and around the world, as we celebrate the 50th anniversary of the moon landing back in July of 1969. And I am very excited to have our next guest on the show with us. I had the indeed honor of being with him a couple of weeks ago, celebrating his 50 years with NBC as a correspondent. And it was a great dinner. We had a terrific time. And for a guy like myself, who was about 11 years old back in the early 60s, 61, when Alan Shepard went up and used to get in my brother's winter underwear and climb underneath the steps and pretend I was Alan Shepard, talking to this guy is a real thrill. Joining us right now with a brand new book, live from Cape Canaveral, NBC's Jay Barbary. Hey, Jay, how are you?
Fine, Ron. Thanks so much for having me on, Guy.
Well, thank you. And I got to tell you something. I had a great time at that function. It was sponsored by the chamber, I think.
And yes, it was.
And I was sitting next to, the nice part about it was, is I was not only sitting next to your current group, which is my buddy Dan Beckman and Dan Shepard, but I was next to Herb Gold and Jim Kitchell, who was the former producer and cameraman for you when you first started. So, man, it was a great evening.
Well, Jim Kitchell actually opened the Cape here back in 1957. He talked the Air Force into letting us on. So we got on the first time with the launch of our first satellite, which was Explorer, on January the 31st, 1958. But it was great. Kitch is retired and living out in western Colorado. So we got him to come back and to have him here and have our current group here.
Well, you know, you have seen things and been in this business so long that it is just just an honor to be in your company, and you've got such great stories. But you know what I noticed, one thing about you, Jay, and I say this very affectionately, you still have the twinkle in your eye, the excitement. You know, some people after 25, 30 years, I've been in the radio and TV business, sometimes you start to, you know, be jaded by the surroundings. You're not.
Of course not, because I tell you, when you're born on a farm in South Georgia, and the only way you can make money is picking cotton at 1 cent a pound, you work from sun up to sundown and do everything you can to get 100 pounds of cotton so you can make a dollar a day. But when they give you a great job like I have at NBC and all the great people around, you continue to appreciate it. But I appreciate every launch. Every launch is just as exciting to me today as it was when Alan Shepard went up, and there's been 150 with American astronauts on board.
You know, the amazing part about this, ladies and gentlemen, is 50 years celebration that was celebrated on the anniversary of Sputnik, of course, which was the successful launch of the Russians of a satellite, and you started that point. You've met them all. I mean, you know them all. They're your pals. I had the honor, as you and I discussed, of getting to be very close friends with Alan Shepard, and I'll never forget when I asked him one day, I said, Alan, did you ever think you would be the first American in space? And he laughed with that, you know, that very, I'm going to say this affectionately, that very arrogant confidence that he had, which I admired. And he said, of course, Ron, I always knew I would be the first in space. And you can just picture him saying that, can't you?
Oh, I sure can. In fact, you know, he was told he would be the first, and the other six of the seven astronauts on January the 19th, 1961, the day before John Kennedy was sworn in as President of the United States. They kept that a secret until finally he was spotted getting in a spacesuit on May the 2nd, first attempt to put him into space, and the weather postponing. And he was spotted by an Associated Press cameraman, and the word got out. Of course, we knew about it ahead of time, but it was given to me off the record, and I couldn't say anything. What they had proposed, they were considering bringing three astronauts out, and they were going to bring out John Glenn, Gus Grissom, and Alan Shepard, and then one of them would get on board. And I cornered the director of Mercury Program, Robert Gilruth, in the Holiday Inn restaurant, and I said, what are you doing? This is NASA. It is a civilian space agency. Where is your reasoning for secrecy? You know, I said, the American taxpayers are footing the bill. They have a right to know. And he said, well, it's my decision. I said, no, it's not your decision. It's the American people's decision. Now, if you want to be working a secret program, go to the CIA. You don't belong in NASA.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to him. Well, he got pretty peeved at me, which is okay with me, because I didn't care for what they were doing. I let him know it. And so Alan Shepard didn't care for it. None of them cared for it.
Right, right.
You know, they wanted it out in the open, and we finally got it out in the open. He and Chris Kraft, who was the first flight director, they were absolutely the worst. They were probably great scientists, but they lived in the Stone Age, you know, when it came to what should be done as far as the public is concerned. When we went over, Jim Kitchell and I went over to Houston, when they first opened Houston over there, Chris Kraft sat down and looked at us, Ron, and he says, well, I'm going to give you the signal 5 minutes delay just in case, you know, and
yeah.
I went straight up and said, hey, you know, this is a civilian space program. Well, Jim Kitchell said to me, sit down, Jay, it's okay. You know, and I locked horns with that guy right then. I said, what do you think you're doing? This is a civilian space agency. It is not to have anything secret. However, you and I both know they did fly secret missions. They flew secret cameras for the Air Force and all. But again, on the other hand, NASA was chartered by the American Congress as a civilian space agency.
Well, Kitch used to tell me about the times that they would actually have helicopters come by a rented house that NBC had just
yep.
to be able to, you know, get the sand going to the point where you couldn't really see the footage because they didn't want to have the American public see any failures.
You know, that was before NASA existed.
Yeah.
This was the Air Force, and before we could get on the Cape, and as I said, he was one of the guys that got us on the Cape. But they would fly. We would be out on what we in on the sand dunes. Now, I only got here on the tail end of that. Kitch was here before me. He got this open up. But all the guys would set up their cameras on the sand dune just south of the Cape so they could see the launch. And we'd sit there and wait and watch for something to go, because the way you learned in those days what was happening was that you knew people that worked on different rockets, and if they weren't home, they were out there, something was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, they would put a red ball up at the port, and we could see it for ships coming in and out. So ships could see that red ball. It meant something was going on out there, and they shouldn't be in the water just beyond the launch pads.
Well,
and that was our big signal.
You called John Shorty Powers early in the morning when you found out about Yuri Gagarin's flight, and he said, hey, we're sleeping down here,
right.
And that you're sleeping down here at NASA was interpreted as not we're, you know, still sleeping, but, you know, we're like resting on our laurels. Yeah,
yeah, he gave us a perfect headline. But Shorty, I woke Shorty up. And Shorty was, we're all asleep, you know, and he slammed the phone up. Of course, he said a few other choice words we can't say on the air before that.
Sure.
And I like Shorty, don't get me wrong, because Shorty took good care of him and everything, but I couldn't help but come back and say, Russians orbit a man and NASA says they're asleep.
Tell him the great story of Gus Grissom and Frank Sinatra.
Well, a lot of people, you know, Gus was, he was very disgusted with the Apollo spacecraft because they switched builders from McDonnell to North American. They did not have the people. They had a lot of retired Air Force colonels that didn't know what the heck they were doing. They were just there drawing a paycheck. So the experienced people that they had that were built the Mercury and the Gemini spacecraft and McDonnell and St. Louis, they were cut out of the loop. So we had an awful spacecraft that was the wiring, the bundling of the wiring and all was nothing state of the art. And in a pure oxygen environment, of course, we lost the Apollo 1 crew, Gus Grissom, Ed White, and Chaffee. They didn't burn up because they were in their suits. The spacecraft burned up. The suits protected them. It just sucked the oxygen out of their lungs, and they suffocated while they were in there. About 10 days before, they stopped over at Ellis Air Force Base out at Las Vegas. That was a trick that a lot of guys use. You know, if they wanted to go take a show in over Vegas or something, they would suddenly develop aircraft trouble over the area, and they'd have to land, you know, and have it looked at. Meanwhile, they'd go into town and take in a show.
That's fun.
Well, the Apollo 1 crew went in and to see a show, and Frank Sinatra's show, as a matter of fact, and Gus had on his jacket, his astronaut jacket with patches on it and all that.
Uh-huh.
As soon as he was spotted, Frank had him moved up to a table up front. They brought a table out in front and pushed him around and made room for him and seated him right there. And then Frank went on so much about how he liked Gus's jacket that Gus stood up, took it off, and gave it to Sinatra. So 10 days later, he died in the fire. But when Gus gave him the jacket, Frank Sinatra literally cried on stage holding that jacket. And as I wrote in the book, he cried a lot more 10 days later when he heard about the fire.
Very special guest is Jay Barbary. New book is out right now, live from Cape Canaveral, celebrating 50 years of covering the space program for NBC on the special weekend. And Jay Barbary and myself will be back with more live with Ron Sedgy today.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I have treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, Do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
As a mother, you don't want to have to worry about this bill is coming, but then she needs this chemo. That's a decision you shouldn't have to make.
It's a huge burden lifted financially, and so it allows you to give singular focus to your child. I've never known a hospital that takes care of their patients so thoroughly.
That was the first thing I was like, how are we going to do this? When they told us that we didn't have to pay a single bill, I was like, wow. They pretty much have saved us.
It's like the world has been lifted off of your shoulders, and now your focus is supporting this child.
There is not another hospital like St. Jude. The patient care is unmatchable. It saved my life. It saved my daughter's life. It saved our family.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
Back again all across the USA with my friend Jay Barbary. Live from Cape Canaveral is the name of the book. It's out right now. It is fantastic. And Jay has been with NBC, count it, 50 years. That's more than Ed Sullivan, Johnny Carson. You passed them all by, Jay.
Well, I tell you, I think I did it continuously. And the thing is, like, for example, our friend Willard Scott, he was around for 50 years, but it was a 50 accumulated years, I think. He went in there and took off one time. He started out as a page, and he took off one time to be the clown. What was the clown's name?
I think it was either Ronald McDonald or...
Ronald McDonald, yeah. He was that clown, I think, Ronald McDonald for a while, and then he came back. But anyway, I've been very fortunate in the fact that I've never been sick while we had a mission underway with astronauts. I've covered all of 150 missions. And to correct the record here now, Ron, I'm in my 50th year with NBC. I will have completed my 50th year on July 21st.
Wow.
So I've completed 49. I'm in. We were celebrating the other night at the dinner you were speaking about. We were celebrating 50 years of spaceflight. Starting with Sputnik 50 years ago. So the book, yes, I'm in my 50th year with NBC. Hadn't quite completed 50 yet.
But you got to go, when you get this book, to the last page, 307. Read it. It will bring tears to your eyes, I guarantee you. Now, here's something that I'm very amazed at. We were having a discussion, in fact, last night with our staff, and they said, what are you going to talk to Jay about? And I said, you know, I really don't think that's going to be a problem, because I've been in Jay's company before. I think he can carry it pretty good, you know. But they said, why don't you ask him what was the most memorable moment, as you've probably been asked a million times, during this 50-year career covering the space program. And when asked what the biggest achievement of the space program was exactly what we talked about at this discussion, and had nothing to do with landing on the moon, first man in space. It was something totally different that dealt with world peace.
It sure did. You want me to reveal it?
Please.
Okay. I've been asking, you know, about what was the most important thing. I can think of nothing more important than SDI, commonly called Star Wars, a Strategic Defense Initiative. Nothing has been more important to the human race than that project. Now, here's what I mean by that. On July 15th, 1975, when we launched our Apollo to dock with the Soyuz that was launched from Russia, there were over 200,000 warheads on missiles of all sorts pointing at one another. That not only the missiles that are underground or in silos, rather, or on launch pads or in submarines, the ones slung under the wings of aircraft and on other armored vehicles and shoulder launch missiles. President Richard Nixon had set up detente. He'd been talking to him. Good friend of mine I wrote three books with, Martin Kaden. I dedicated this book to Marty. He was the greatest aviation space writer I ever knew. And Marty had written a book called Marooned. and the astronaut was marooned in space. It was originally on a Mercury. Frank Capra did the movie, and he, made it an Apollo at the time. It starred Gregory Peck. And a cosmonaut saved the astronaut at the end of the movie. Most people have seen that. Well, in detente, President Nixon was talking to the Soviet leaders and told them we needed a common docking adapter so that we could go up and rescue one another, and they agreed, and we had that flight. Well, that was the start of the thaw of the Cold War. Now, we continue to cooperate. Today, we're the two most powerful nations in the world in space, plus the fact that we are partners, the two main partners on board the International Space Station. Don't get me wrong, the Europeans, the Canadians, the Japanese and all are just as important, but Russia and America puts more of the dollars and the flights up there. We're using the spacecraft to get up there. When they started to build SDI, can you think, any reasonable, sane person, can you think of anything that would be more advantageous to us as a nation to have a shield that would protect us from incoming nuclear warheads from rogue nations, who all of them, like North Korea, Iran, all of them are trying to develop these vehicles? We're not that concerned with large nations because they have too much at stake. But these who like to make trouble that don't have that much at stake, what could we have better than a shield to protect ourselves? Now, it can be done, but we had a lot of people in academia saying it couldn't be done. But the Russians knew that it could be done. And Michael Griffin, who is NASA administrator now, was the deputy director of that program. You ask him that question, and the first words that comes out of his mouth, SDI.
Mm-hmm.
You ask Dr. Gene McCall, the chief scientist of the Air Force,
yeah,
a good friend of mine.
Yes.
He'll tell you the same thing. Because what happened was, it's sort of like two neighbors live by one another, and they keep trying to outdo one another. The Joneses keeping up with the Joneses, and they keep spending. You put in a swimming pool, I put in a swimming pool. You put in a tennis court, I put in a tennis court. And pretty soon you get to the point that one neighbor starts running out of money. Well, the Soviet Union started running out of rubles. The Soviet Union could not financially, after we got to that point, compete with us to build SDI. Even though President Bush, President Reagan and President Bush had followed and all said, we will simply give you the technology. We want you to be safe, too. We don't want you to feel like it's a threat. So this is what started the friendship that disarmed and reduced the nuclear warheads on this planet to a manageable level. The Russians knew we had the technology. The Russians knew that we had the brain power to do this. They knew that we would get it done in a couple of 3 years. And they had a choice of either matching us ruble per dollar or becoming our friends. So they have become our friends. The Soviet Union came apart. The Berlin Wall came down. The major factor was SDI Star Wars. Now, you might ask, okay, what's happened to it? The technology is still there. They've had a couple of successful flights. They keep working on this, but not at the pace that they were going to work on it, because we don't believe right now that we need to work on that pace, but we should. We should continue, because the problems that we're going to have will not be with China or be with Russia. The problems we're going to have are rogue nations, some idiot out there who is going to get a hold of a missile and try to drop it on New York City or in San Francisco Bay. Anyway, I think that when you stop and you analyze all of it, for my sake, of my grandchildren and my children to leave here on this planet, I think they are a heck of a lot safer because of SDI. And that was the most important space project since the beginning of space 50 years ago.
It wasn't an event or a milestone or a major accomplishment that we would have thought of. It was something totally different, Jay. In your opinion, the space race brought safety to world peace. That's amazing. The name of the book is Live from Cape Canaveral with Jay Barbary. Jay, thanks for joining us and being part of today's show.
Thanks so much for having me on, Guy.
Thank you, my friend. And there's more to come live all across the USA and around the world with Ron Sedgie today.
If you feel you've been lied to, pressured, or misled into buying your timeshare, you have the right to cancel completely. This is Steve Sanchez, and I'd like to introduce you to Wesley Financial Group, the leading top-rated timeshare cancellation company in the country. That's right, no more excessive fees or lifetime commitments that make you feel like you're serving a prison sentence. Founded by CEO Chuck McDowell, a pioneer in the industry, who went into federal court and won against the largest timeshare resort company in the world just to help you get out of your timeshare. Too good to be true? No. Countless testimonials and the highest ratings from the Better Business Bureau make Wesley Financial Group the real deal, and their money-back guarantee they put in writing makes them the Steve Sanchez choice for successfully canceling your timeshare guaranteed. To get their free information kit, call 1-800-475-1919. That's 1-800-475-1919, or visit them at timesharecancellations.com. That's 1-800-475-1919.
USA Radio News with John Hunt.
A British oil tanker was seized in the Strait of Hormuz by Iranian forces, while another was temporarily stopped and sent on its way. Here's the words of British Foreign Secretary Jeremy Hunt.
Stena Impero was seized in Omani waters in clear contravention of international law. This is totally and utterly unacceptable. It raises very serious questions about the security of British shipping and indeed international shipping.
Iran's Revolutionary Guard claims that they seized the tanker for violating international regulations. Three members of a now-defunct white supremacist group were sentenced to more than 2 years in prison for punching, kicking, and choking counter-demonstrators at a white nationalist rally in Charlottesville and events in California. Benjamin Daly, Thomas Gillen, and Michael Micellis were members of the group known as the Rise Above Movement, and the U.S. Attorney's Office sentenced them yesterday. This is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Blockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. BlockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
USA and around the world. It's Ron Segi today talking about around the world. Our next guest has been just that several times. In fact, he was a NASA astronaut from 96 to 2014, a veteran of two space flights to the Hubble Space Telescope, and he's written a new book that is terrific. It's called Spaceman, an astronaut's unlikely journey to unlock the secrets of the universe. He's been with us before. He's a fellow Italian. Joining us right now is my friend Mike Massimino. Hello, Mike. How are you? Thanks for being back with us.
Thanks, Ron. It's always great to talk with you again. Thanks for having me.
Well, before we do anything, I just got to tell you that I'm so happy, and I've said this to you before, that a nice Italian boy is in the history books. That is fantastic.
Well, I'm an American, but no, yes, my grandparents all immigrated from Sicily. Yep, yeah. You bet.
Okay, I'm the same way, too.
Yep.
Love this book. It's called Spaceman. This is a page-turner. Thank you for writing this, because you know what? Not only is it extremely interesting behind the scenes, but it's a motivational book for young people, because you, at a very young age, back in July of 1969, stood outside and looked at the moon and thought, wow, there are people on that moon. And that's how it all started, didn't it, Mike?
Yeah, it is. And as you say, one of the key words in that title for me is unlikely. It was an unlikely journey, and I dreamt about it as a little boy. I had no idea how that was going to happen, and really didn't pursue it until I got older. But it was a dream that was formed as a very small child, an interest that never went away. And I was lucky enough that through not giving up and the hard work and a lot of good fortune, I was able to be selected as an astronaut flying space a couple times. It was just an extraordinary opportunity.
But I think the motivational part of this, Mike, is this, that when you were rejected twice by NASA, and on the third try you made it, then they found out that you had poor eyesight and that you would never make the cut. And then you got over that obstacle. And you claim that you really weren't the smartest kid in the class, and you got over that obstacle. So perseverance and going after something that you wanted so bad is a great incentive for people that not only our age, but youngsters who are listening and finally find a hero out there, which is very difficult to do in our day and age.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying it, Ron, because I think that's what's resonated with a lot of people, is the idea that you can have a dream as a little kid and follow it as best you can, never giving up. And there were times where I thought for sure there was no way this astronaut dream was going to work, and I just stuck with it. And the idea of giving up was really unthinkable for me.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's hard sometimes to really be honest with yourself and say, this is what I really want to do. Because if you say that to yourself, yeah, this is the thing I really want to do. This is my life stream. This is what's most important to me. And then at the same time, you realize, well, it's really unlikely this is going to happen. It's going to be impossible. All of a sudden, it becomes really difficult.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's important to be honest with yourself. If you love something, you really need to pursue it. And when you're told no, when you meet with disappointment, don't give up. Just keep going, no matter how bad it seems. There's always a glimmer of hope at the end.
I think that's great advice and a marvelous thing to say, especially for our youth out there. Now, you also candidly admit that your personality had a lot to do with it, because when people were kind of being stuffed shirts around you, you lightened things up. And you admit that you were kind of naturally clumsy, and when you were up there in zero gravity, you were banging into everything, knocking into people, and actually gained weight in space because you liked eating in space vis-a-vis other astronauts who normally lose weight in space. I mean, you're the perfect guy up there, you know that?
Yeah, I think I think it's important to try to keep things light and keep things positive as best you can. And sometimes we take our job seriously, and there's definitely the amount of stress associated with flying in space. You know, part of it is the hazards involved, and also not only that, but that you're trying to do something that is fairly important and complicated, and you don't want to mess it up. You know, you feel very fortunate you got picked to do the job, and you don't want to be the one to destroy the Hubble Space Telescope.
Right.
But if you think too much about that, you're going to drive yourself nuts. So I think it's really important to try to keep things light. And I am a clumsy guy pretty much on Earth, and I had to do my best to try to make sure I didn't break the telescope. Came close a couple times, but luckily it all worked out that way. And eating in space, I really like the food. It's easy to cook too. Just gotta warm it up.
Well, you know, it's funny because I remember you telling me this, and you included it in the book, that here's a man, ladies and gentlemen, that's been in space two times, walked in space, actually set a record, him and his crew, of walking in space, and afraid of heights. Explain that one.
Yeah, I don't like heights at all. Yeah, I don't like heights, but it doesn't necessarily prevent you from flying in space. It didn't with me. I don't like looking over the side of a building. I don't like being low railing looking over. I don't like that feeling at all. So I just avoid it whenever possible. And there's other astronauts who, I'm not the only one. There are many of us, but there's a couple of us with the same problem. But it's got, I never felt it's not being in an airplane. Looking out the window of an airplane, you're up pretty high, but you don't necessarily feel like you're going to fall. And that's the way it was in space. I didn't feel like I was going to fall. So the fear of heights is a real thing, but luckily it didn't surface, show itself in space for me.
Well, you had trouble just walking over the gentry there, the walkway, didn't you?
Yeah, that would close my eyes for that one. Hold up in a rally, that was always better. You can always close your eyes. You don't like what you're seeing? Just close your eyes.
Mike, I think I told you this. I had become very good friends with the first American in space, Alan Shepard. He was a great guy. He was a unique, unique individual, to say the least. He was the first person to play golf on the moon. But you were the first to tweet in the Hubble, right?
Yeah. I was the first astronaut to tweet from space. And that was great because it was just another way to... And I still tweet. And at @astro_Mike is my Twitter handle, so... Still tweet, and it's a great way to share what you're doing, a great way to share information. And for me, I liked it because it was fairly simple to get a tweet out and could share these things that I would see up in space. So I saw something that I thought was interesting, or something that touched me emotionally, and I was like, wow, this is unbelievable. I was like, well, now I can share it with anybody who's interested, and I would tweet that out. And I still try to do that as much as I can.
That's great. Do you know astronaut John McBride, Mike?
Sure, yes.
John,
I know him fairly well, yeah.
Yeah, he's a great guy. I had the opportunity.
Yeah,
I've been on a couple of automobile rallies with him, and I was out in California.
Oh, wow.
And I was dying to fly back with him. We arranged it so we were both on the same plane sitting next to one another. So I tell people, I can't tell you this because you obviously know it, but when I want to brag, I just tell people that I flew with John McBride, and they don't know where it was. They could have been, a space shuttle. What is it like? I love your description. What was it like to see the Earth from that perspective? Again, going back to Alan Shepard, he said, I never saw the boundaries. It just looked so frail, that Earth. What was it like to you, Mike?
I think for me, it's the most beautiful sight I've ever seen. And I try to, in the book, I try to describe what I was feeling when I was looking at it. And my thoughts were, at one point, just when I could, from the spacewalk, where I could just enjoy the view of it and kind of get into the moment, the thought was, if you were in heaven, this is what we would see. If you could be up in heaven looking down on our planet, this is what you would see.
Wow.
And then I was just kind of dwelling on that, and I was like, no, that's not right. It's more beautiful than that. This is what heaven must look like.
Wow.
I really felt like I was looking directly into paradise when I had a chance to look at the Earth from space.
Gosh, unbelievable. And you almost teared up a couple of times. You didn't want to cause a shock.
I did, I did. Yeah, and that could be a problem. Yeah, I had to control myself. I didn't want to get into water in my spacesuit and create all kinds of issues. So, I had to be careful about that. I had to keep myself, as much as I could, I had to keep myself under control. But then you're able to let loose after the fact.
You once told me, too, that there's really no way of actually feeling, even with all the tests, what it was like to launch in that space shuttle. And it's all in the book. I got to tell you something, Mike. I could talk to you for not hours, days, years. Okay? And when you have more time, I'd love to have you come back and chat about it, okay?
I would love that, Ron. Thank you very much for having me back. And pleasure to speak to you. And anytime, we'd love to speak to you some more. Thanks very much.
That sounds great, Mike. Mike Massimino, the name of his book is entitled Spaceman, An Astronaut's Unlikely Journey to Unlock the Secrets of the Universe. And, of course, as we mentioned in the introduction, Mike served as a NASA astronaut from 1996 to 2014, a veteran of two space flights to the Hubble Space Telescope. Mike and his crew set team records for spacewalking time, and he became the first person to tweet from space. He's also played himself on the CBS sitcom The Big Bang Theory, was featured in the IMAX film Hubble 3D, and has appeared frequently in television documentaries on late-night talk shows and news programs. Great guy, Mike Massimino. We're going to pause for just a second. We have a lot more to come, live all across the USA and around the world. I want to remind you to check out our website, which is ronseggi.com, ronseggi.com. We'll be right back with Ron Seggi today.
a mother, you don't want to have to worry about this bill is coming, but then she needs this chemo. That's a decision you shouldn't have to make.
It's a huge burden lifted financially, and so it allows you to give singular focus to your child. I've never known a hospital that takes care of their patients so thoroughly.
That was the first thing I was like, how are we going to do this? When they told us that we didn't have to pay a single bill, I was like, wow. They pretty much have saved us.
It's like the world has been lifted off of your shoulders, and now your focus is supporting this child.
There is not another hospital like St. Jude. The patient care is unmatchable. It saved my life. It saved my daughter's life. It saved our family.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at St. Jude.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Live all across the USA and around the world. This is one of the classiest guys you'll ever meet. And believe me, when I say that we go around the world, don't go around the world quite like astronaut Winston Scott. That's even a cool name. Retired captain of the United States Navy, former astronaut. He was on the STS Endeavor, the 72, the STS 87. Winston, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing fine, Ron. It's good to hear your voice again.
Well, thank you so much for showing us a good time when you were out at that function in Melbourne a couple of weeks ago. How many hours did you log, and how many miles did you log in both of those missions? Because it had to be astronomical.
Yeah, I was in space full-time in space was about 24 days. Let's say I had 9 days on Endeavor and 16 days in Columbus, so close to 25 days, and 3 spacewalks. It was 19 hours and some minutes outside spacewalking.
Wow.
And I don't recall exactly how many millions of miles I logged. I probably should remember that, but without looking at the stats, I don't, because millions of miles. And, you know, I tease my audiences sometimes. I say, if you buy a car with several thousand miles, or it's a slightly used car, well, I've got several million miles. Does that make me a slightly used astronaut?
So, now, I'd hate to look that up on Carfax, because that would be really... And you have a book, Reflections from Earth Orbit?
Yes.
I got to get that out.
Oh, I think you'll enjoy it. The feedback I've gotten has been so tremendous. I'm very pleased that people who have read it have enjoyed it.
Now, we were talking, you and I, a couple of weeks ago, and I asked you about some mutual friends we had, like Mike Massimino.
Yes.
And Mike was telling me, he's a former astronaut, ladies and gentlemen, we had him on our show before, that by the time that that shuttle even clears the launch pad, it's going in excess of a couple hundred miles an hour. And I asked you at that time, is there any test on Earth, any procedure that you go through that can duplicate that in some kind of a simulator, that immense speed, because I can't imagine that they could replicate that on land?
No, not really. The closest thing you can come to is replicating the G-forces in a centrifuge. So the centrifuge can give you that sensation, that the acceleration, but it's not exactly the same thing as actual launch on the shuttle. It's just an incredibly fast vehicle that continues to accelerate the entire 8.5 minutes it takes to leave the Earth and reach orbit. It's an amazing ride.
Now, were you scared at all?
No. People ask me that all the time, and I can be honest and say, no, I really wasn't afraid. It was very exciting for me.
Really?
Yeah, very much so. I enjoy it.
Now, when you walked in space, you're going like 18,000 miles an hour, and you're just floating up there.
Yes, yes. You, the spaceship, and everything you're working with is traveling at the same speed. So, yes, somewhere around 18,000 miles per hour.
Do you ever get claustrophobia?
No. If you get claustrophobia in this business, you're in the wrong business. Don't have much room inside that shuttle. Six people on a space shuttle mission is like six people living in a camper. Oh. And a Winnebago. And, of course, you can't get up and go outside and take a walk when you feel like it.
Yeah.
You got to get along with your crewmate.
I was honored to be good friends with Alan Shepard.
Yes.
And that was amazing to listen to him talk, because Alan... Did you know Alan?
No, never got a chance to meet Alan Shepard.
Alan had a little bit of an egotistical edge to him that you admired.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of those things like, wow, man, he's into himself. I mean, I asked him one time, I said, did you ever think that you would be the first American in space? And he looked at me with a steely blues and said, of course. Are you kidding me?
You know what? You have to have that kind of self-confidence to come to this business.
Yes.
And to fly fighters or to fly spaceships or walk in space. If you don't feel that way, if you aren't confident in yourself in that respect, then again, you're in the wrong business.
You're in the wrong business.
Yeah.
Now, what's going to happen here now? We've got some issues with the space station where they may have to evacuate that in November.
Oh, man, we certainly hope that doesn't occur. And,
yeah.
And of course, many of us are very disturbed by the overall direction in which our space program is going. You know, we shut down the shuttles, and we put all of our eggs in the Russian basket, and now they're having some difficulties with their rockets. I'm confident that Russia will find the problem, and they'll take care of it, and we'll be able to service the station without having to evacuate. So that's a little bit extreme, and we hope that doesn't occur.
If they evacuated it, how would they get back into it if we're not launching any shuttles? Would it be with the Russians?
Oh, yeah, with the Russians. If they had to evacuate, say the Russians have not fixed their problem yet, so we evacuate at some point after that, a week, hopefully days, weeks, months, or whatever, the Russians would get the problem fixed and then launch back to the station.
Now, the comments made, why are they going in space? You know, we got all these problems on Earth. And I think that a lot of people fail to realize how many of the conveniences and technological things that we enjoy on a day-to-day basis, take for granted, really got their start with the fact that it was done in space.
Absolutely. I could go on and on and on for hours and hours and not touch on everything that the average American uses that is a result of our space program.
Yeah.
People just don't realize. All the cell phones and GPS GPSs that we use and all these iPads and iPods and iPhones and telemedicine. You know, the paramedics show up to take care of you and to relay your vital signs back to a doctor in the hospital. All that stuff came out of the space program. Freeze-dried coffee, new growing and planting techniques for farmers, the condition of the ozone layer, you know, spotting hurricanes thousands of miles away so that we know when to evacuate. That comes from satellites. Well, who put those satellites up there? We got a space program. So the list just goes on and on and on about the benefits we get from space.
How long do you think we're going to be out of that business before we're back into it, either with private enterprise or as a government subsidized program?
I'm optimistic in that private companies will step up and be able to service low Earth orbit, and the funding has to be adequate. If there's not adequate funding, the private companies can't be successful either. If there's adequate funding, I think we'll see our private companies routinely sending cargo to the International Space Station, and then they'll be sending people in orbit. When they do get to Earth orbit, we're still only in Earth orbit. We have no one pushing off into the solar system, going back to the moon, off to Mars, and so on. A good, robust space program needs to have routine flights to the International Space Station, but also pushing out into the solar system. And we don't have that.
No.
And that's what really disturbs many of us.
I think that the loss of the supersonic jet and the loss of this space program has made this country very backward.
I can't help but agree with you there.
We've been talking to Winston Scott, who, of course, is a former astronaut. He is also involved with the Florida Institute of Technology in Melbourne, Florida. I can only ask you one favor at this point, Winston,
sure,
because I know I'm going to be talking to you and you're going to be, you know, like really annoyed at me. Can you give me one of them blue jumpsuits?
Well, I could tell you where you can get one.
Oh, yeah, yeah, really?
Absolutely.
Oh,
yeah.
All right. That's all I need.
Yeah, we can work on that.
You look so cool in that blue jumpsuit.
Well, I appreciate it, but I tell you what, I retired from active duty several years ago. I'm just happy that I can still get in that.
Oh, you got into it. Okay. Bring your trumpet along. We'll jam a little bit.
I would enjoy that.
Winston, thank you so much. As I mentioned in the introduction, you're a class guy.
I appreciate it very much. It's been my pleasure.
Our guest has been Winston Scott, former astronaut on two space shuttle missions, a list of credentials from here to outer space, and we'll be back with Ron.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called The Tax Doctor. And The Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they're able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
I'm Rick Osick, president of Famous Footwear. Every baby deserves the best possible start, but not all babies get one. March of Dimes is changing that. You can help us lead the fight for the health of all moms and babies. Join me and Famous Footwear to March for Babies. Let's raise funds and be champions for families near and far. Together we are building a brighter future. Sign up for Famous Footwear's team today at marchforbabies.org.
More to the IRS, and you cannot afford to make payments to the IRS. business, you may qualify for the CNC tax program. This is a new program, and if you qualify, you won't make any payments to the IRS while in this program. Once you're accepted into this program, the IRS is forced to stop all harassing collection activities. No threatening phone calls, no wage garnishments, no bank levies, and no more monthly payments to the IRS. Get ready to write this number down. It's the most important number you'll ever need to end your IRS tax nightmare. Call Paramount Tax Relief at 800-547-4804 for a free confidential consultation to find out if you qualify for the CNC tax program. Once you are accepted into the CNC tax program, you won't make any payments to the IRS while in this program. Call Paramount Tax Relief now at 800-547-4804. That's 800-547-4804. Again, 800-547-4804.
Well, that's going to wrap things up with Ron Zedgy today and our very special recognition of the 50th anniversary of the moon landing back on July 20th, 1969. Oh, I can remember where I was like it was yesterday. I want to thank our guests for being part of the show. Our interview that we did several years back and replayed it for the first time in a 28-year history of our show with astronaut Alan Shepard. Also, my friend Jay Barbary from NBC with his book, Live from the Cape. And astronaut Mike Massimino and astronaut Winston Scott. Well, we'll be looking for your company come next week when we're going to do it again live all across the USA and around the world with Ron Zedgy today. Till then, I'm Ron Zedgy, hoping you have blue skies and green lights.